In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, on this greatest of days, we celebrate the sublime mystery of our Lord's resurrection. Recalling the sacred triduum that we had celebrated, we saw on Good Friday of the Jewish nation who had gratified their hatred against Christ. They had seen their Lord expire on the cross, and thinking they had nothing more to fear from him, they withdrew. Yet they feared that the disciples might take away the body of the Lord and pretend that he had risen from the dead. The chief priests and Pharisees demanded that the public authorities should place seals on the stone that closed the sepulcher. Soldiers were then stationed there to guard the tomb. And thanks to these precautions, every possibility of fraud was removed and the synagogue could rest in peaceful assurance. However, early on the morning of the third day, the holy women, eager to honor the Savior's burial, hastened to add new spices to those that Nicodemus had brought on Good Friday. Those faithful women said to one another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" What is their surprise on arriving at the tomb, to find it open and empty? The soldiers had disappeared, frightened at seeing the angel roll back the stone of the tomb. "Fear not thou," said the angel to the holy woman, "for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." The great mystery has been accomplished. The Lord is risen indeed. In union with the angelic witnesses of this miracle, let us truly adore the risen Christ and rejoice in his victory over death. Let us look to the great apostle, St. Paul, whose words can sum up these past days. He wrote, "Umiliabit semetipsum factus obedience usque ad mortem." He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. Christ's love of us on the wood of the cross merited for us the mercy of his Father, and with that, all graces of salvation and sanctification. As Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise, and like him, we will die. During this course of our earthly life, and more so during each Lenten season we partake, we separate ourselves from all sin, detach ourselves from every creature. We do this in the spirit of fasting, abstinence, prayer, and almsgiving. Like Christ, we shall come forth from our tomb to enter upon a life infinitely more perfect than that of our earthly existence, Lord willing. The apostle calls Christ the firstborn from the dead. We then are to share in the blessing of the resurrection. He is the head, and we are the members. But the members cannot have a life different from that of our Lord. Yesterday, we recall the font of this church had been filled again with sacred baptismal water, confected and infused with the holy oils of our sublime religion. Recalling our own baptism, when we renounced the evil one, and all his works and pomps. Today, we nevertheless must die more and more to the old man, so that all in us should be dominated and governed by grace. Having learned of all that Christ acquired for us was won by his sacrifice, which was inaugurated at his incarnation and consummated by his death upon the cross. We then ought to live in God, unto God, and with the greatest plenitude and commitment possible. This work that begun at our baptism continues during our whole pilgrimage on earth. The blessed Columba Marmion teaches that knowing Christ died but once, we must die daily, for we have remaining in us the roots of sin, and the old enemy labors unceasingly to make them spring up. So going back to the great apostle, he tells us, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new paste. For since Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been immolated for you, you have become unleavened bread. Thus, let us partake in this feast of Easter, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, as St. Paul says. We must preserve within us the grace which will enable us to live in the truth and sincerity of the law of God. Vivit Deo, he live unto God. Christ lives all and wholly for God, consecrated to his Father and to his glory. The new and glorious life of Christ belongs also to us. Christ liveth unto God, and therefore we must live unto God. How then do we live unto God, dear faithful? After separating ourselves from sin by our continual self-denial and sacrifice, we must from now on adhere to God, belong to God, consecrate ourselves to God. The Lord of spiritual vitality has reopened to us by his victory on the cross the fountains of eternal life. Thus, during this season, freshly opened once again, let us live each of its days under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and in conformity with the precepts and maxims of Holy Scripture. By the holy virtues that we continue to practice and sustain, hopefully learning more and more every Lenten and Paschal season, so that Christ can live in us. May this time be for us fructifying, so that it may produce within us a more complete death to sin, to the creature, and a more vigorous and more abundant increase of the life of Christ. Christ, the risen King, is the King of hearts. May he then reign in our hearts forevermore. May we truly be subject to him. May our self-will, self-love be put aside, so that all things may be placed beneath the feet of Christ, that every knee should bend at his name, in heaven, upon earth, in hell. This too includes not just us physically, but also our spirit and our faculties, our will, our intelligence, our imagination, and our energies. Dear faithful, our faith has led all of us to this point in sacred time and space, contemplating the mystery of the Paschal Lamb with the gift of faith. We truly come into contact with our blessed Lord, just like the venerable apostles and holy women who witnessed Christ's resurrected body during the first Easter octave. You see, we adore the same resurrected Lord who returns again in this holy tabernacle. Our fervent and well-prepared sacramental communion will aid us in partaking of the fruits of the Paschal mystery. Meditate then the words of Dom Marmion, who said, "We receive Christ such as he is now, that is to say glorified in the highest heavens, and possessing in its fullest expansion the glory of his resurrection." So behold then, dear people, the blessed Lord in the Eucharist that we are about to partake, well disposed and well prepared, who was the pillar of fire that led the tribe of Israel through the desert into the promised land. You see, this is symbolized by the holy beeswax Paschal candle, splendidly and artfully appointed. It was lit with the holy fire from Easter Vigil. And like a tower of flame, we all follow Christ out of the desert into the garden of paradise. So may this new Paschal season give you all hope and courage, dear faithful. May the resurrection of our Lord ever remind you of the joy that is to be in heaven. May the constant cry of the Alleluia during this time help you to be glad. May we acclaim this same cry in the practice of our holy religion, so that we may never become discouraged nor despondent in the ephemeral things of this short life, but remain vigilant in the continual work of Christ, so that he will help us to ensure perpetual joy in heaven. St. Gregory of Nazianzus beautifully summarizes this day in his greatest of sermons for Easter. He concluded, "We were created that we might be made happy. We were made happy when we were created. We were entrusted with paradise that we might enjoy life. We received a commandment that obeying it, we might win merit. Not that God did not know what would take place, but because he had laid down the law of free will. We were deceived because we were the objects of envy. We were cast out because we transgressed. We fasted because we refused to fast, being defeated and overcome by the tree of knowledge. For the commandment was with us from our beginning and was a kind of education of our souls and a restraint upon pleasure, to which we were reasonably made subject in order that we might recover by keeping it what we had lost by not keeping it. We needed an incarnate God, a God put to death, that we might live. We were put to death together with him that we might be cleansed of our sin. We rose with him because we were put to death with him. We were glorified in him because we rose with him. But, O Pascha, great and holy and purifier of all the world, for I will speak to you as to a living person. O word of God and light and life, and wisdom and might, for I rejoice in all your names. O child and desire and image of the great mind, O word conceived and man contemplated, who bearest all things, binding them by the word of thy power, receive this discourse, not as first fruits, but perhaps as the last offering I shall make to thee, as an act of thanksgiving, and at the same time, a supplication that we may suffer no evil or affliction beyond those necessary and sacred cares to which we have dedicated our life. Restrain in us the tyranny of the body, Thou seest, O Lord, how great it is, and how it bows me down. Or thy own sentence, if we are to be condemned by thee. But should we attain to what we desire, and are received into everlasting dwellings, there also shall we speedily offer thankful gifts to thee upon thy altar, O Father and Word and Holy Ghost. For to thee belongs all glory and honor and might, world without end. Amen. Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.